I'm excited again about the word I have for tonight. Let's go ahead and start. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22 tonight. Welcome to Grace Fellowship of Georgetown, where we expect miracles. Amen. Because we expect miracles, we receive miracles. Matthew chapter 22. If I can get my pages to turn there. And let's go to verse number 36. Well, let's go to 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, talking about Jesus, tempting him, saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." In other words, Jesus said, if you can love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, then and also love your neighbor as yourself, he said, you fulfill the entire intention of the law. Now, we know that the word says love fulfills all the commandments, right? Romans 13. Love fulfills the commandments. But he specifically says you should target loving God first and loving your neighbor like that. And over the past, really, week to 2 weeks, there's been something percolating in me. Now, we've been on a series about the seven steps to fulfill your destiny. We're suspending that for tonight, because this has just been fresh within me. And it's like God's been stirring in me exactly what the prophecy for tonight declared. God wants to draw us close unto Him in relationship. And I've been just discussing with God, just in my fellowship time, God, what is it that I can do? What is it that I can be involved in to fulfill your highest plan for my life? And of course, we know that's purpose, to know God. But I was saying, God, I really want to walk in your power. I want to walk in the miracle manifestation. I want to walk hand in hand with you. I want all the whole package. And it's like God's been unveiling to me, and it's something we know, but He's just been making it more and more real. The key to walking in the fullness of God. How many want to know the keys of the kingdom, right? I mean, Jesus said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, right? And based on those keys, you will prevail over the gates of hell. And the Lord's been stirring in me this message, this revelation. The key to fulfilling God's plan is the same as the key to walking in all of the power of God. It's the same to the key that to walk in the love of God. And that's to so fall in love with God and seek Him as the most important thing ever. Because He is. To determine you're going to go after God as the most valuable thing that exists. Because He is. And that you're not going to let the cares of this world get in the way. You're not going to let distractions get in the way. You know, I mean, you have to deal with certain things. I had a week of dealing with stuff. You follow me? And it was virtually nonstop. But at the same time, I'm talking to God the entire week. And God wants to get us this place where our entire focus of life is on knowing Him, in fellowshipping with Him, in pursuing Him. Even if you don't feel like you feel God, to be endeavoring to know His Word, to expand your abilities in prayer, to launch out in the deep in your relationship with Jesus Christ, to know the Holy Spirit. In fact, this desire, this yearning to go after God is the key, is the number one main key to the kingdom. It is the master key. And that's exactly the prophecy we had tonight. That God said He's going to stretch us to a new place of desire to know Him, to walk with Him, to go hand in hand with Him. And that He's going to do supernatural work within us to cause it to come to pass. But you've got to initially desire to go that direction. You've got to determine, I want God above everything else. And when you do that, God will then ignite something within you to enable you to invest your energies going that direction. Do you follow me? It's like a fuse within you that you've got to light through a determination to go after Him. But when the fuse is lit, something explodes within you that makes it easy. And I'm telling you, we're on the precipice of the greatest outpouring of the presence of God that's going to bring us into the Shekinah glory of God, that's going to make all of this easy. But it's initially coming upon those that really desire to move into it, despite the distractions, despite the hardships, despite the things that would try to rise up and choke out the word. You got to desire it and say, when I get a moment, I'm getting with God. When I get a chance, I'm speaking the word. When I get a chance, I'm going to get in the word. When I get a chance, I'm going to endeavor to know God. Do you follow me on this? And so here he says the first commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart. In fact, the other verse in Luke, I believe, says all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. In other words, God's saying the key to walking in His fullness is to so fall in love with God, it encompasses and incorporates every fiber of your being. And that's the bride. I remember when I was about to marry Patty, I couldn't wait for that wedding moment, for that time where this woman that I was already in love with was going to be one with me, and we were going to go together into the rest of our lives. And God wants us to have that same heart toward Him as His bride, to desire to be one with Him. Amen. Now here's what struck me. Here they asked Jesus the greatest commandment. And He says, it's love God with all your heart. Right? On this rests all the other commandments. All the rest of the writings of the law and the prophets rest on this thing. And so God is telling us this master key is all summed up in knowing our purpose, to know God and desiring to do it. That, you know, we've been seeking ways to, you know, how can I get my prayers answered? How can I walk in the power of God? How can I prophesy? How can I function in these giftings? All these things we want to see happen. How can I get my family saved? And God said, it's all summed up in one thing. Go after God with all of your heart. See, I've been wanting to know because I've been watching videos. Now I'm drawing a blank. I just drew a blank of His name. I watched a video last week about 10 days ago, with Pastor Jim, Pastor Sherry, and Pastor Callan and our spouses, of an individual that's raised 33 people from the dead. And I want to know how to do that. You follow me? But he started sharing what it was that he did that gave him that power. Now, I may get some of this wrong because I haven't seen all the videos, but Pastor Callan shared it with us. He fasted for 9 months. 3 days fasting, 2 days eating. 3 days fasting, 2 days eating for 9 months. I can do that. You follow me? But how many will do it without a promise that there's going to be something at the end? And then he locked himself in a room for 21 days without coming out in pursuit of God. And 21 days, I guess his family was in agreement. They were passing him meals, whatever. He didn't come out of the room for 21 days in prayer, in the Word, seeking God. And after 21 days, he came out. When he came down the stairs, his daughter said to him, "Who are you?" you're not the same person that went in. And then he went to his, he was a pastor, went to his leadership meeting, had a leadership meeting, and for I guess it was a month or so, every time he opened the Bible, his entire leadership went out in the Spirit. There was such an anointing came on his life. I want that. I want you guys falling out every time I open the Word. Save me a lot of preaching. Amen. I just, when you come to us, say, it was good. You missed it. I want that power. And I believe the key is that imparts that power to people is desire. Desire to know God and to love Him so much, to fall in love with Him so much, you'll do whatever you have to do in your pursuit of Him. Amen? And so we were talking in a pastor's meeting here 2 weeks ago, and we were discussing Heidi Baker and others that are walking in some just really high levels of miracle power and how much we want that. And I mentioned, I said, I believe God said to me, it's yours. How much do you want it? In other words, how much do you desire it enough to separate yourself from the world and go after it? How much do you want it enough that you're willing to pray long hours, pray when nobody else is praying, read and meditate Scripture? And now, I understand I'm a minister, so this is part of my calling. But each of us, whether in ministry or not, are called to fall in love with God and to learn to flow with the Holy Spirit. But I'm convinced the supernatural key, the master key to walking in every promise of God, every gifting of God, to walk in the fullness of His love, to walk in every empowerment of God, is to so fall in love with Him, you pursue Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And here, Jesus said it right out. He said, here's the key. This sums up all the law and the prophets. Fall in love with God. And it's been there all along. We read as if it's just another statement of Jesus, you know, another directive. Yeah, I need to love God. Oh, I love God. You know, it's one thing to say you love God and to appreciate God. We appreciate God, right? Thank you for the air I breathe. Thank you for the food I eat. Thank you for the bed I sleep in. But it's another thing to pursue God. Do you hear me? It's one thing to say you love God. It's another thing to pursue God. And I'm here to tell you, what you genuinely love, you will pursue. Now, I know the story about if, you know, if you love someone, you got to let them go and see if it's a butterfly or whatever, they fly back to you. I'm just telling you, you'll pursue them. You'll pursue the person you love aggressively if you really love them. I understand they have a free will of saying, no, you, we're not stalkers. Do you follow me? But if you genuinely love someone, you're going to position yourself to be with them the best you can. And the same thing is true about our love for God. And God is not going to reject us. He's not going to say, get away from me. He's not going to accuse you of being a God stalker. Amen. We should be God stalkers. And that becomes the master key to walking in His fullness. And I want that want. Did you follow me? I want that want to. I don't want to be, if I've got some open time, I'd rather watch Let's Make a Deal or Jeopardy than go pray. Do you follow me? Or read a novel instead of the Bible. None of those are sinful. None of those are wrong. But I want so much desire for God that that would be laughable to me. Now, the truth is, I don't think I've read a novel in over 30 years. In fact, I think I've only read two of them since I've been saved. Piercing the Darkness and This Present Darkness. And they were about God. I know when I got saved, my heart was so turned toward Him, so pursuant of the things of the kingdom of God, I invested every bit of my strength going after him. And I want to make sure that in these times we're about to go into the glory, that as I've grown in God, the thorns of the cares of the world can't start choking out that pursuit of him. I want to want him now more than I've ever wanted him in the past. Do you see that? Go to Proverbs chapter 8, Proverbs 8. And let's go to verse number 10. Solomon writes, "Receive my instruction and not silver." Now here Solomon's writing really on behalf of God. This is the heart of God. And he's saying, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Now he's not saying that you shouldn't receive silver or gold. He's saying you should prefer it above silver and gold. Do you follow me? "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." Wisdom is a result of dwelling or abiding with the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God is the one that gives the witty invention. Spirit of God, the ones that gives the direction for your life. The Spirit of God, the ones that comforts and strengthens. Amen. And he's saying this relationship with God via the Holy Spirit is more valuable than all the silver and gold and gems in the world. And I can tell you right now, I believe God's going to make me very prosperous. I totally do. I believe he's going to bless me exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or think. But the truth is, I wouldn't trade a minute with God for all of it. I want God more than anything the world has to offer. Used to be I was focused on whether my team won a national championship, whether I could catch the biggest fish, whether I could, win in some game. I don't care about anything now except walking hand in hand with God. Let me restate that. That's my desire. That's all that I want. I want so much love of God, it burns out any other distractions. It burns out any other considerations. It burns out any other idolatry that would try to rise up in my life. Amen. Now, I know that I want God now, but I want God more. I know that I love God now, but I want to love God more. And I believe desire becomes the key to a release of supernatural want to. And I believe that prophecy we had tonight was right in line with what God's saying to us is, how much are you willing to go after him that he can relight that fuse to create an explosion within you of supernatural desire? Amen. Because I believe there's a spiritual momentum that God energizes once you determine, I'm going after him. In prayer, word, fasting, and church. Amen. Not to mention tithing, offerings, blessing, walking in love, witnessing, testifying, all play a part to take us deeper into him. Go over to verse number 17. "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Now, first of all, let's break this down. He said, "Those that seek me early will find me." How many want to find God? Well, here he lists two requirements. You're not going to find God unless you first seek God. How do you seek God? In prayer, in the Word, in church. Quiet time where you're not just listing God what your desires are, what you want, but you're listening, what would he have you do? What is his instruction to you? What is he telling you need to change in your life? See, you're not going to find God. Those that seek me early shall find me. You're not going to find him without a seeking involved in it. Well, if God wanted us to fly, he'd have given us wings. How many have heard that one before? I'm so thankful for airplanes. Amen. If God wanted us to travel 70 miles an hour down the road, you know, he'd let us run that fast. I'm thankful for cars that run 70 miles an hour. I would like to have one that runs a whole lot faster. Amen. And people say, if God wants me to serve him, he'll appear to me. That's the same type of nonsense. Do you follow me? That's the same nonsense. Well, if God wanted me to eat, he'd shove it down my throat. Do you follow me? If God wanted me to stay dry in the rain, he'd put a roof over my head. These are stupid statements. God put abilities in our hands. Witty inventions, technology, airplanes, cars, houses, air conditioning. He gave us these things to live a better and blessed life. And so it's crazy to say, well, if God doesn't do it right for me, you know, I wouldn't have it. The truth is, you will have nothing from God without going after it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe it's verse 31, Paul said, but covet earnestly the best gifts. How many would like to operate in the gifts of the Spirit? All the gifts. I do. All the gifts have manifested in my life at different times. But I coveted them, which meant I went to God in prayer and said, I want these gifts. What can I do to learn to develop in these gifts? What books can I read? What people can I talk to? What can I do? How much fasting can I involve myself in that's going to help me position for these gifts? You've got to covet it. Well, if you want to walk in the first key to love God, it's going to take a desire to seek him. And then he said, seek me early. How many morning people are here today? Any morning people? Aaron's a morning person. Nancy's a morning person. Aaron, Robert, I am not. I'm a go to bed at 1 in the morning person, and let's get up about 7 to 8. And for years, my prayer time was 4:30 a.m. It was at 4:30 a.m. Jesus appeared to me that time and gave me a word about the glory. And I've had times where he would holler my name at 4:30 to wake me up because he wanted me to seek him early. But I think there's more to that than just seek him at a certain time of the day. And I believe it's important to give God early time in your day to set the course for your day. If you have to go to work early, get up 30 minutes early and pray, get in the Word or whatever, make some confessions. I believe that's a valuable thing. If you don't have to be at work till noon, then get up at 10 and do it. Whichever. It's not the time on the clock. But I believe even of a higher level of revelation, it's not the time on the clock that you seek him. But the early means before you get in trouble. Do you follow me? Before you try to do it all yourself. And when you're at your last string, then you say, oh God, I need your help. Before you're hanging on to the last knot of the frayed rope, you call on God. You call on God before you even endeavor to move into new activities. I try to remember, I forget sometimes, but I try to remember every time I get on a motorcycle to sincerely pray that God's angels watch over me. Do you follow me? And no animals run out in front of me. I don't hit anything. And no hedge apples hit me either. Amen. I pray because I want to, see, I believe that's a form of seeking God early. Versus, you know, when you're in a ditch saying, oh God, help me get out of the ditch. And God says, those that make it a habit of seeking me before they're in trouble are demonstrating a genuine faith in me, a genuine trust in my word, a genuine reliance upon my operation in her life. And God says, that's the one I'm going to show myself to. The one with a genuine heart to function in relationship with me. Those that seek me early, that put me first, that I'm the initial thing they go to before they endeavor to do anything else. And I don't think it's so much the time of the clock, you follow me, as it is the time in your activities. Riches and honor, verse 18. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Now, I hear people say, yes, God, riches and honor. I want the riches and I want the honor. See, I'll be getting into this in the intercessor conference, but people start to put the desire for their prayers to be answered ahead of the desire to know God. And here he lets us know that the seeking and the knowing produce riches and honor. Do you follow me? But riches and honor produced may not produce knowing Him. And God's looking for a bride that really want to know Him. I was 30 when I got married. I met Patty when I was 28. And I had dated several different girls over the years. And some wanted to marry me, I knew, but it wasn't the one for me. And there's probably some I thought I would want to marry, but I wasn't the one for them. You follow, you know how it goes. But I knew there were certain ones that I would date that wanted me because I had a job and had a car, you follow me, and a potential future income, you know, above. And I knew they liked the package of what I had more than they liked the package of who I was. Do you follow what I'm talking about? Because see, I'm a successful engineer at the time. I'm driving a 280Z. I've got a Harley Davidson Sportster. I've got a nice apartment. I've got money in the bank. I can go and do what I want to do outside of, you follow me? And so I had people that were, you know, I was a stepping stone to security and comfort. But I knew they really didn't care for me that much. But one of them, Patty. And Patty would tell you I had her dream motorcycle and her dream car when I met her. But I knew when I met Patty, she liked me. I don't know why. I was a total jerk. I mean, geeks have no right. They have no right being a jerk. I mean, being a geek is jerk enough. Do you follow me? Have I ever told you Pastor Callan's favorite engineer joke? Do you know what engineers use for birth control? Their personality. He loves to tell that one to me. And so as that kind of engineer, I have no right being, how can I say, edgy or uncaring. She really cared for me. But I didn't treat her all the hugs and kisses all the time. But I stayed with her. She stayed with me, and I knew she really liked me. Must have been a God thing because I still can't understand it. And that's the one I chose to marry. The one that didn't care about the car, didn't care about the motorcycle, wasn't cared, you know, that she could, you know, have the security around her, although she didn't like it when it went when I quit the job. But you follow me? She liked me and stayed with me even when I didn't have all the money, because I knew she loved me. What I'm getting at is I believe that's the heart of God. Not that you're after God because he can give you a car, or he can give you a job, or he can give you finances, or he can give you a house, or he can, you follow me? But you're after God because he is a loving God who said, I've sent my son so that through his blood we can have a relationship. And the one will say, I want to know that God. I want to walk hand in hand with that God. I want to flow with the spirit of the living God. I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to move into that position, to set the flesh aside, to renew the soul, to move into that place, I can know the God of all creation. Do you follow me? And he says, through that desire, he will give you riches and honor. You remember Solomon himself who wrote this. When he became king, God said, what would you like? And Solomon said, God, give me wisdom to lead this people. Now, what would that represent? He didn't say, give me the knowledge to dominate this people. I want wisdom to lead them. Solomon said that out of a love for the nation, out of a desire to be responsible over what God had put in his hands. And God said, because your heart is birthing out of love, a desire for godly wisdom. Remember, wisdom is the principal thing. Because your desire is for me to function through you and to speak into you right decisions. Do you understand that's out of relationship? God's saying, because you want a relationship with me where I can show you what to do. You want to walk hand in hand with me. I'm going to give you all the riches. And what happened? Solomon became the richest man ever to live. Amen? He was probably richer than Apple right now, if you added it all up. And so, out of the desire to walk with God, God fulfills all of our other needs. Now think about this. How many know the word says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous? Right? And I'm convinced that financial inversion is set aside for the bride of Christ in these end times. And the bride of Christ are a people that desire nothing more or nothing greater, let's put it that way, than to know God. And God's going to come to this bride, just like Solomon did. He's going to come to this bride who wants to know him and say, because you want to know me, I'm going to give you the money. Now, we've had a move in the church, and I'm not going to say it's wrong, but it's been off track, I'll be a little bit, where people are after the money before they're after God. How much can I sow to get this? Can I sow to get this? Can I sow? If I sow this big seed, will I get? And nothing wrong with major sowing. I believe in, I live it. But if all you're doing is giving for money, and your pursuit is not really to strip away reliance upon the world system and the money that it depends upon, and your desire is to know God, if it's not based on that, then you can may get the money, but miss out on heaven. And I would hate for anyone to do that. Are you following me on this tonight? He says, my fruit, verse 19, is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. In other words, he's saying a relationship with me is worth all the money in the world. But then he says, I'll give you the money. He says, I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Did you see this? Now, here's how most people have it in mind. If God will fill my treasures, I will love Him. Lord, help me keep all these thoughts straight right now. I was so naive when I was young. I really didn't know how much of this existed. But their world is full of many women that are gold diggers. Is that okay with you? I know you're not. Nobody in here. Are you following me? But the world is full of gold diggers. I mean, look how many wealthy old men married young beautiful ones. We'll just leave it right there. You follow me? And you think, why did that beautiful young woman marry that old man? And there's a key called bank account. You follow me? Women crave security. And sometimes they crave security more than they crave the mate. And they start to put the desire for the money above the desire for love. And end up marrying somebody they don't love, potentially, because of the security they can provide. And when I was young, I didn't realize how many gold diggers were out there. But they are out there. Amen. And these would be brides that go after money and say, if you'll give me money, I will love you. Now, we have another name for that when it's done on the street. Do you follow me? I mean, we have a name. We have several names for that if it's done on the street. You give me money, I will love you. But if you marry somebody and produce a license, then it's legal and okay. You follow me? But to some level, it's still the same thing, just with a permit. Because you will give me money, I will love you. And that's where a lot of the church is. God, if you will bless me, whatever fashion, I will love you. But God's looking for an end time bride that will say, I'm going to love you. And God says, and I'm going to make you wealthy. Do you see the shift, the difference? And what God's been speaking to me over the past week or two is, even the whole time I was in Kansas and Tennessee, I was only in Kansas for a few hours. It was funny. I drove through St. Louis and Kansas City and Lawrence and all this, and then I turned around and drove right back through all of them again. And I were driving, I said, hey, I was just here 3 hours ago. Oh, I was here just 7 hours ago. It's kind of funny. Anyway, God was speaking to me about this, all these travels. This was because I didn't have time to get a long time in the Word, but I was still meditating and praying. It was just in me that God's looking to raise up this bride that want to know Him above everything else. And God says, and then I'll shower them with every blessing I have. See, if I had married a woman that I found out married me for their money, I'd be very careful what I gave to them. Because I know they wanted a credit card more than they wanted me. But when I get a woman who wants me more than a credit card, here's my cards. Take all my money. Because I'm after your love, and if I have your love, I trust you with everything I possess. And God's looking for a people He can turn over authority to, power to, life to, assignments to. You remember the parable of the pounds in Luke chapter 19? And those that were faithful, what God gave them and multiplied the 1 pound to 10 pounds. He says, you know, have thou authority over 10 cities. God's looking for responsible, loving people He can turn over these keys to. And I believe we qualify ourselves for this by desiring to know Him and to love Him. Let everything else take a back seat. Understand, we have to do things. I'm talking about nothing else compares. verse 20 again. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasuries. God wants you to have abundance. But the danger is you put the desire for abundance above the desire for Him. Amen? And others, when they don't get the abundance they wanted, get mad at God and they grow cold in their love. That would be caused because you put the desire for the blessing above the desire for the blesser. Amen. Isaiah 55. Let's start at verse number 1. Ho! Santa Claus, right? Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now he says, if you thirst, come to the waters and partake without money. He says, let me read it again. Come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. How do you do that? How does somebody with no money come and buy anything? Because the wine and the milk he's talking about is not of the natural. The drink and the eat he's talking about is of the supernatural. He's talking about partaking of the sustenance of God. And even though you have no money, he says you can buy it through pursuit. Ho, ye that thirst, come. That's the key word in that whole verse is come. If you want it, come, and God will give it to you. You know, there's so many people that walk around sick, and so many people that you'd like to pray for to see healed, but there's a spiritual principle in effect. Scripture says, if any man is sick, let him call upon the elders of the church, not the elders of the church hunt him down. Now, you can go find people in public, pray for them, but there's a much higher faith connection made when they come and hunt you down. And Jesus demonstrated it. If you read the Gospels and read about how many Jesus healed multitudes, but you never read a single passage that says Jesus went to a city and healed everybody in the city. That is not in the Bible. There's not a single phrase, passage, verse, chapter that says Jesus went to the city and healed everybody in the city. But it does say he healed everybody that came. When he fed the 5,000, who did he feed? The ones that were there. The 4,000, the ones that came to that place in the wilderness, he fed them. And the same thing is true. God's blessing is laid up. It's stored up for the ones that will come, that will desire him so much, they'll reposition themselves to receive. And I'm telling you, it's our responsibility. So we want God to do a miracle. God, make me want you. And I believe that possibility is there, but he needs you to pursue him to activate or to light that fuse for that desire to come in you to that level. You got to say, I'm going to change my position to go after God. Well, it's just so hard. It's really not. You know what it takes sometimes? You know? My favorite TV show is about to come on, but I think I'll pray instead. Click. Isn't it amazing? You can turn off a TV without even getting up now. The same remote control that turns them on, sitting on the couch, will turn them off. Now I'm getting too personal, aren't I? Now people are getting mad at me. I'm just like, well, Pastor, I worked all day. I just want to chill and watch TV. Well, praise God for chilling. But you know what? You can chill and pray too. You can even chill and come to all-night prayer. Thank you, Jesus. How much do you want God? He says, verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Talking about the bread of life, talking about supernatural bread, the Word of God. And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me. Diligence. And eat ye that is good, eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. He says here, why are you spending your money on worldly things, which delight not? Once again, God wants you to have nice things. I want to have many motorcycles. Do you follow me? And I want to have new vehicles. And I want air conditioning units that are not 20 years old and above. I want some things. You follow me? But I can't go so focused on having things that it chokes out God. And he says, why are you desiring things that don't satisfy? I'm going to say it, and some people out there, and I know you guys won't get upset, but potentially some on the internet may get mad. Why is who wins a basketball game so important? Or a football game? That it would control your emotions, and you have to see it, and you... What if we spent, instead of on watching a football game, we turned it off and prayed for 3 hours or gotten the word for 3 hours? I remember when I was first saved, I got up on Saturday and I was ready to watch all these games. I was a football fanatic. Couldn't wait to watch college football game day or whatever, you know. I don't know if they had that then, but it was game day. And I get up and I pray before, games don't start till, at that time, probably 1 o'clock. And I'm praying, and God says, I don't want you to watch football today. Just get in the Word and pray. Jesus. And I this is not exaggeration. I had to white knuckle the Bible to keep the TV turned off. Because my flesh so wanted, was so addicted to that football. My flesh was screaming. Turn a TV on. You missed God. But instead, I stayed in the Word. You follow me? And I believe those are the things. It's not hard, but you got to push through some things. And it may not be football, may not be basketball. It could be shopping. Could be Facebook. Could be Pinterest. You follow me? Twitter, Twitter all day. 20 of your time away. How much do you want God? Verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. David had a heart after God. That's what I want. I want a heart after God. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, and for the Holy One, for he hath glorified thee. Let me read that verse again, but I want you to see what's in it. Verse 5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to raise up a nation that you don't know about. Well, that nation is the people of God. You follow me? Right. It's talking about the glorified church. It's not known right now, but it's about to rise up. And it says, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee. Now he says, unto thee, he's saying, you are the nation. that people don't know of. God's got a hidden militaristic church he's about to bring forth that nobody knows about. And as his nations out there that didn't know about you are about to run to you. It says, because of the Lord thy God, God's going to do a supernatural move. And he says, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. The glory coming on us is going to form us into this nation that all nations are going to run to. But here is the qualifying characteristic of the citizens of this nation. Now listen, I'm convinced it's not the whole church. Because the bride has made herself ready. You find the glorious bride. How many want to be a citizen of this nation that God's going to rise up and glorify? The qualifying characteristic of this nation is you love God more than anything else. You love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you love your neighbor because you let him change you from the inside out. Amen. And God's going to raise up that group of people, and I want to be part of it, and I know you do as well, to be this nation he's going to bring the glory to. He says in verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. There's the key. Seek the Lord now. Now, he says, while he may be found. That's an interesting statement. Is there a time God can't be found? There's a time he's going to be hard to find, called the tribulation. Seek God before the rapture, because after it's going to be much more difficult. Amen. He'll still be there, but conditions are going to be so trying, it's going to be hard to focus on God when you're running for your life. If you follow what I'm talking about. But here's the key. Here's the qualifying factor to be part of that nation. You seek God above all else. Let the wicked, next verse, let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts. You've got to change what you do and change what you think. How do you change what you do and change what you think? The word and prayer. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God here is not saying that we can't know his ways or we can't think his thoughts. He's saying in the natural, my ways and thoughts are too high for you to operate in. But if you seek me, you'll function in that. Then down, I believe it's verse 11. Let's look at that. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. God said, I'm bringing forth this glorious nation. But it's going to be compromised. Voluntary, how can I say, enlistees. Back during prior wars, back during World War II, World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam, America had the draft. You follow me? You can enlist if you wanted to, but if you didn't, and you didn't have the right exemption, they would say, okay, it's your numbers up, you're coming into the military. Amen. And so the military was full of draftees. And I've heard the stories in Vietnam, a lot of the draftees didn't want to be there. Half-hearted about it to some level. Not demeaning anybody that did service in any war. But you were half-hearted about it. But those that enlist are serious soldiers. I mean, if you want to do it, I think you were a Marine, right? You enlisted. You wanted to do it. They take it seriously and invest their time to be the best. versus just survive it and get through. Unless they're doing it just because they want an education or some benefits. In the same fashion, this nation God's bringing together is comprised of voluntary citizens. And you won't be climbing over any walls to get into it. You're not going to come as an illegal immigrant. You're going to be qualified because you pursued God with all your heart. God's going to say, "Welcome to my nation." In fact, we see the story in the Gospels about the man that tried to get into the wedding without the right garment. And he says, "Take him out of here. He's not qualified." He tried to sneak in, throw him into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. What happened? I believe it's somebody that tried to get in without knowing God. He says, "Get him out of here. He's trying to cheat the system, trying to bypass the rules." Go over to, I believe it's Matthew chapter 7. We'll skip over here just for the sake of, I've got several more verses we don't have time for. Matthew chapter 7, and we've gone here many times in this church. Look at verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" In other words, operating in the gifts. "And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Here he says it's not enough to pursue the power. You got to pursue the God of the power. And I believe it becomes the master key to moving into the glory, to moving into all that God's promised. And I believe if you'll pursue God first, you'll get the power. Because the power won't matter so much as knowing Him. The wealth will come to you, but you don't care about the wealth. You'd give it away in an instant if God said to give it away. Because all that matters is knowing Him. Amen. And of course, healing will come through that as well. Well, look, we're out of time for tonight. I hope this has blessed you. But know this, if you will pursue God, I believe He will do a work within you to cause you to want to pursue Him even more. And as you start to step into His presence, it will create in you a desire to have more of His presence. I just returned from my hometown in Tennessee that has been overrun with much drug operation. And drugs day, if you do it one time, you're hooked with many of them. And it'll create a momentum of drug use in your life. Well, I believe even more so, God's got enough love and power that if you'll get with Him one time, it'll create within you a desire for more of Him that can create a spiritual momentum in your life, that you'll move into the glory of God. Amen. Which mountain do you want to dwell in? The cursed mountain or the blessed mountain? I choose blessing. Well, Father, we thank You for Your word. We ask You to seal it in our hearts, in our minds, in our understanding, and cause to rise up and be people of great faith, great expectation, and above all, great love and desire. Birth in us a desire for more of You, and open the windows of heaven over our lives wider than ever before. As we pray and we seek and we get in Your word, Your Spirit makes alive all the things of the kingdom of heaven. I thank You in this church there are none sick, none oppressed, none lacking, and none that will run from God. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, I'd be honored to pray with you. Otherwise, hug some next shuttle of God. Be a blessing.